You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Famous around the world, please welcome the Fantastic Four. Mr. Fantastic. Invisible Woman. Human Torch.
I love you, Johnny!
And the Thing.
Hey, what time is it? Say the thing!
That's not really something I say.
It's clobbering time!
That's just in the cartoon. Never late for Sunday dinner.
Let's eat.
Hey, what time is it?
It's dinner time. Get inside.
Oh, hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. It is time for a foursome of a different kind.
What time
on
is
today,
it?
Today, the Tuesday. What time is it?
It's Flame on time.
It's yeah, podcasting time.
It's pottering time. Wait, that doesn't quite work. I don't know. And yes. Right now, Pete wishes she was invisible. there she goes. Yay, well done.
Oh, sorry, crash.
crash.
Very well done. I love that Pete is now really embraced.
She's officially gone.
She's
just gone.
Probably still there. Can you hear us in the
I'm
void?
I'm invisible, I'm not silent.
Yeah.
You all know how it works.
Excellent.
That's true. They didn't use that enough in the film, I don't think. They're just having Sue just kind of being like, what are you guys talking about? And freaking people out. Because, you know, that's what I'd do if I were the invisible man.
Yeah, she's not the seen, not heard woman.
Yeah. No. Not seen, not heard.
Wow.
Hello. We're back after a week off. A small
break. Is
everybody
feeling enthused and like upbeat and
it was
stuff.
Nice to have a little break, to be honest.
I hate those months with the five Tuesdays. What weirdness is that bullshit? And now it's gone. You've gone all glowy and
I've smudged the camera.
Oh wow! No, she's actually doing the exact effect from the movie.
Now,
I stretch my hand over here?
Serve absolute cunt with your face while you do that.
There it is.
Perfect.
And now I'm going to do some cooking.
Oh, dear. And, you know, what I hope for everyone, hello to everyone in the chat, mainly for, I hope you all got to do the homework.
Yeah,
this particular
did everyone
day.
Enjoy the movie? See it?
Yeah. Tari looks like that she hasn't seen it yet. She's saying that please be good.
Ooh. So. Interesting.
Oh,
fascinating.
What?
Fantastic Four has been out since last Thursday officially. We saw it last week, which was quite fun.
There's even some early screenings on Wednesday for the public.
Yep.
Yeah. It's out. Yeah. It's part of Marvel's Phase 4?
Six.
Six.
First film of Phase 6. God, that's hard to say.
Why couldn't they have made it the first film of Phase 4?
Because that was quite some time ago.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Look, the fourth attempt at the Fantastic Fours. And I include in that the 1994 one, which was never released except is hovered around. Yes, there was a 1994 one.
That would make this the fifth one then.
Yeah.
No, it's I say this as in the fourth go at it because there were two with the same cast. So you have the
technicality.
What are you talking about? This is our fourth thing that we have had. Yes, it
that
is the
true.
Fourth thing. You know, Michael Chiklis did a great job getting covered in rubber. and then you know we're up to this one.
Can't remember the other guy.
No, I was going to say, I can't for the life of me remember who played the thing in Fanforstic. Oh my god!
I know
Fanforstic.
That's what it's called.
Fant-four-stick?
I don't know. But I think
the A was in the middle, not at the start.
Oh, okay. I just call it Fant-four-stick because it's easier to say.
It's Jamie Bell.
Oh, God, that's right.
You remember?
He was the young...
Billy Elliot. Yes.
And the young chipper guy out of the first King... Or the King Kong movie that Peter Jackson did.
And he was also Tintin. But that was animated.
So not really who you would think would fit in a giant thing.
That he was the thing.
Yes. And Karina makes a good point. Rest in peace to Julian McMahon, who was the first Dr. Doom. Second Dr. Doom.
Yes, because there was a Doom.
I did rewatch the 2005 version on the weekend just for a bit of nostalgia. Yeah.
Aww. What did you think
I like those trashy ones. They're great. They're so campy and stupid. Yeah. And I look back on them and I'm like, wow, the simpler times when we did comic book films and we really, really did make them comic booky.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And finally,
we weren't going for all of the realism and stuff.
Yeah. And they didn't have to fit in with some gigantic fucking thing.
I will tell you, practical effects thing, I don't know. I like it.
Eh?
Yeah.
CGI one is like, that feels like a cheap cop out.
Right.
Okay. Fine.
Just wear a suit with balls on it and not put in any effort and just animate it.
You know what?
Wait, do you mean
by effort?
Hey, it's a different kind of effort. I'm like, let's get our hands dirty and make a fucking stinky suit out of foam, expanding foam or something like that, and cause some lung disease. Let's get into it.
I'm just gonna take it on part of the actors there. Sometimes I'm just gonna be like, yeah, maybe they don't want that. Maybe they don't want to spend 16 hours in a makeup chair to
as a cosplayer.
Yeah,
I would agree, but I would also disagree because I think it would be fun to make it.
Sure. I mean, ultimately, it'd be that great thing of like they make someone do that, and then they just go, "Oh, we're just going to CGI it."
Well, the thing is, there was a lot of the thing in this one that was actually practical. Like there's quite a, believe it or not, there's shots that they hired a pretty big wrestler to be the body for it. So on set, a lot of the time there was a practical suit dude of roughly the right size.
So we're not just talking about a guy that's just standing in there in a green Zentai.
No, I mean, when they were doing it with Eben Moss Baccarat, then he was
Baccarat. In
whatever the fuck he's in.
Baccarat. Not Baccarat. That's a game.
I know.
You're in a casino in Monte Carlo?
Yes. Hey, guys.
Anyway, when he is on set, they had the Zentai suit and stuff like that. But there were quite a lot of it that was shot. Anytime they needed like a wide shot and everything, they actually had a dude in a suit with the whole head and everything.
Oh, cool. All right.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures of that. But I've also in the chat just put a link to the 1994 one and the thing in that. Jill, you would love that one. Because the suit actually looks more like the comic book character than any of the others have.
I love the terrifying dead eyes.
I know.
I mean,
yeah, that's great.
It's very thingy.
Look at that thingy over there. That thingy.
Yeah, that is definitely something I'd go. What is that thing?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
if I saw it in a
look at that young man with fake grey sideburns.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Hey, honestly,
I'm trying hard here, Jill. What are you talking
that
about?
That film. Like this, I love this one because my thing with Fantastic Four, it started with this film because I was one of those fucking nerds who heard that there was a film that got made and was never released. So I then went and hunted for it. And I, you know, back in the days of VHS trading, got somebody to send me a fucking VHS of this film that had never been released. And I watched it.
And
it's terrible.
Nice.
But it's actually got a lot of, like, it's trying really hard to do all of the things that a Fantastic Four movie should do just with no budget. Like, it's got Dr. Doom, it's got the Mole Man, it's got them all doing their powers, but like Reed's stretchy arms are like pool noodles with a fucking a glove on the end.
I mean, that still image alone is giving vibes of like 70s Italian Spider-Man.
Yes,
got a bit of that.
I mean, you've got to what's the crossover / league, like the Marvel group, you know, Secret Wars thing. It's the 1989 Punisher, Dolph Lundgren. It's the Captain America film. It's the Fantastic Four film. You know, it's all of those ones pre-Marvel Universe. mesh together, and you're like, what is this strange fucking place? But we're not here. We're in a different strange place this time.
We are.
We're in much more budget, some bigger names, and some care. And finally, they sort of kind of got people who give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About doing something fun. Mm. And that's nice.
Surprising what you can accomplish when you put in some time and effort.
Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it? It's kind of like, oh.
And when you've had three goes at it before and gotten it wrong three times, you kind of go, well, fuck it. We're going to hold off on this one. Because, I mean, Fantastic Four has always been seen as Marvel's first family. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're one of the very earliest Marvel superhero groups. And, you know, we're what, 39 films in now?
Something. Well, I don't know, 112. We're 112 films in now. That's how many there are. I won't be fact-checked.
Yeah, and now we've just introduced the very first Fantastic Four stuff. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, obviously they were tied up in rights for a long time, but...
Yeah. I mean, look, it's fine. We're just going to ignore the rest of the those fan-fortistic, whatever it
but
is.
We can't ignore them.
We have to.
Fan-autistic.
No, fan-fortistic. Fan-fortistic. That's what I said. Yeah, we're going to ignore
the autistic fans. Deal.
we're gonna ignore that Michael B. Jordan is also Johnny Storm.
Yeah, he was one of them.
Yes, I know, right? No, he's not Killmonger. Yeah. He's definitely Johnny Storm. We're also going to ignore that Captain America.
Yeah, Chris Evans was also Johnny Storm. And Captain America, yeah.
Yes, exactly. We're going to ignore all of those things and focus very much in Comic Daddy and his family. Fucking Pedro Pascal, not happy just being Space Daddy, Apocalypse Daddy, and General Daddy. now he's also Comic Daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything he can't daddy?
You know what? Hollywood will not let him not daddy something. He's in there now forever. Mm. Like he will just keep doing it until everyone collectively gets sick of him, and I'll be able to return to anonymity.
I just realized
the summer of Pedro.
Yeah. It is the summer of Pedro.
It's been multiple summers.
There was another fucking attempt at Fantastic Four.
Oh, have you? Yes.
Well, technically,
pray tell.
There was another Reed Richards.
Oh,
John Krasinski.
But that's right.
That's in Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
Which is from the Marvel Universe.
But that's not the Fantastic Four.
He's one of the breeds.
He's Mr. Fantastic.
Is he, though?
He's Mr. Spaghetti by the end of it, but anyway.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, that's just on film, but it wasn't the Fantastic Four. And this is what we want to focus on. It's about these group of people and how they're represented in cinema.
Yeah, what you're not capturing in the audio is our eye roll.
massive eye roll.
Come on.
Elon's wiping away John Krasinski from the entire multiverse of anything, and we're all going, no.
Oh, yeah, that's because Dion can't do a convincing cosplay of John Krasinski's Mr. Fantastic.
No, I cannot.
He can only do the Pedro one.
Yeah. And if you squint, the Ian Grufford one.
You have to get a clean shaven for that one.
I've just had an eye check. My eyes are not that fucking blind.
Okay, then fine. I'll go with this one. If he is part of the Fantastic Four canon, you need to cast the other three members of the Fantastic
Four
in those universes. Who is it going?
Okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Can we come back to this at the end of the
show? Immediate. Okay. We'll give you time. Yeah. Time.
So this will be here for 15 minutes.
Yeah. So if John Krasinski's Mr. Fantastic and Chad, go and throw something. We need
Actually,
Emily Blunt. I would go Emily Blunt for Susan Storm.
Fuck yeah.
Yep.
Probably down for that.
Yeah.
Karina's just like, gonna get to the synopsis yet, guys?
Yes, Karina. Keep gets on task.
Get pushed by the chat.
Yeah, that's all.
Wow. I'm being bullied by the chat.
What is this film about?
What? Yeah.
What is this film about? I don't know. I'm not going to do the synopsis now because I've been told I have to.
Oh.
Oh.
Jesus Christ.
That sounds like me energy.
Okay,
so settling into that demand avoidance there.
Quinny, have you got some synopsis for us? Hit us up.
I have got a synopsis for everyone but Karina.
To be fair to Karina, it's been 20 minutes.
Can you do it in a Brooklyn accent?
Okay. Forced to balance their roles as heroes with the strength of their family bond, the Fantastic Four must defend Earth from a ravenous space god called Galactus and his enigmatic herald, the Silver Surfer.
Surfer.
And guess what? It's clobbering time.
Oh, cool.
Is that it?
That's it.
Shit.
That's the whole book of synopsis. Trust me, there was an even shorter one.
Oh, God.
I love Surfers.
Yeah,
Silver Surfer.
Some more consonants and vowels in there than I remember from.
Hey, I'm going down to Yancey Street and I'm going to start some fights.
With the Surfer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about it.
Get that man some cookies. Thank you. I would love some cookies.
That's kind of what the movie is about, and I'm with it. Like, this isn't one of those films that you went and saw, and you're like, oh, great, we get to have an origin story of how did they get their powers? How did they do this? Like, how do we go through that? They were like, no,
we
you
just
know
got
what?
A tidy little vignette, and that's all we needed.
Quite a long vignette, really. Explaining like how they fit into the world and how suddenly they're the brokers of world peace, and everyone looks up to them, and they're the world's family.
Yeah, I kind of love it.
I mean, okay,
they're paragons.
Yeah. And the important thing to note is that we're in a different world here. Mm-hmm. We're not in the regular Marvel universe. We're in a weird kind of quasi 60s future pop. Yeah. Different reality.
It's 60s futurism. So it's just, there's a divergence point from our history to where it has ended up in this Earth history. And I dig it. I dig the style. Imagine in the 60s if four people got shot into space, came back and had all these powers and solved a bunch of problems and a bunch of other things happened. That's how that kind of goes. It's like Fallout, you know?
Like, yeah, and I mean, it's not actually stated what year this is it?
No. It's just different Earth and what that is. But people
be current day to 616 Earth.
Yeah.
We don't know. That's just what this Earth looks like.
There's big, there's big kind of LED screens, but no cell phones.
Yeah.
There's.
Well, it's kind of like they've kind of gone, we don't need to put energy into making TV screens flat. We'll just have giant non-flat TV screens and faster than light space travel.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's what we're going to do with that extra energy.
Yeah.
We don't need to put energy into like inventing MP3s. We'll just keep records.
Yeah. Yes.
And teleporting.
Yeah.
Think of what we could have done as humanity.
Exactly. Yeah. All of our computerization goes on tape.
Yeah. We invented cassettes and then CDs and then digital format music, and now we're back to fucking records again. So
they just didn't bother leaving the records because they realized it was the superior format from the start, especially if you print them in gold.
Yes, and if you haven't got a troop of players in your lounge room, you know, eventually we'll get to there, won't we? Like, oh, this is my 9 musicians that follow me around and play music to me.
Yeah. I think, Karina and Casper both kind of make the point. It's very Jetsons.
And that's kind of
so
great.
Jetsons.
Because that's very familiar to the people who knew Fantastic Four for when they were growing up based on the cartoon, which is the sort of the carryover of where people would see it from, the Saturday morning kind of cartoon. And, you know, it sets a tone that everyone could easily get into. And I went, I'm here. I immediately know what's going on. It has a different Marvel logo. It has a different kind of a soundtrack. It's setting itself in a particular period. And I was like, I'll go with this. This is totally different to every fucking thing else. This isn't a dark and gritty reboot. This isn't anything really to do with the rest of the Marvel universe yet, kind of, which makes me happy. And I was like, I'll go with this. I'm immediately just going to be like, all right, what do you got?
Yeah, I think the thing that's so immersive about it is the visual language that they've lent into so strongly. and so thoroughly. Like the set design and production, all the set pieces, the costumes, everything like that was like beautiful. Like there was such attention to detail, and there was not like a wasted moment on screen. It was so interesting that we're talking about like how like futuristic retro it is, but like the costuming wasn't futuristic. That was still like grounded in 60s fashion.
Yeah. I had a really good time just watching the sets and the costumes. I was like, they've actually paid a lot of detail to the costuming, not only of the signature folk, but the people around them too looked sharp as fuck.
Yeah.
I gotta
say. The space suits and their hero suits were still like grounded within like that 60s like retro futuristic style, but had like the strong 60s fashion elements as well in terms of like the textures of the fabrics and things that they used. But the color theory throughout was fantastic. And yeah, just the visual language that they used in this film was just so cohesive.
Yes.
It's a joy for the eyes.
It is.
It is a joy for the eyes. Until we get to the failure of the film.
Wow. Jesus. Okay. So just a reminder, folks, that Dion also sat through Superman and huffed.
I did huff.
He did huff.
I want to also caveat that I did see Fantastic Four but beforehand I had to watch the Avatar trailer 17 times. I don't know how to explain that in terms of everything else, but I had to sit through the Avatar trailer too many fucking times, and that may have influenced my decision and how I enjoyed that film slightly. Too many fucking times. Anyway.
Yeah, it's almost like they strapped you to that chair and made you watch them 17 times.
They kind of did.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, as we all know in those kind of cinema things, the seats are gold, and if you leave one, you're done. It's coming back. But anyway, yeah. Enough of that. Fantastic Four. What are your first four impressions?
I just want to know why you're getting ready to throw it under the bus, Dion.
There
have been a couple of times that you've already kind of started coming out swinging. I want to know why the big rubber punches happen.
Well, first, I mean, we all hate John Krasinski. And no, I'm just joking. That's good. just threw that out there for you.
Come on for John Krasinski, and he's not like
can't even defend himself.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about how effusively I love the costuming, the design, the aesthetic, the way that it just kind of moves the story along really, really quickly. It throws in some amazing nods and references to the historical stuff. Like there's covers of famous Fantastic Four issues thrown in.
Oh my God.
Very quickly.
That made me so happy.
I know. You've got classic villains like Mole Man and the Red Ghost. Red Ghost of. Like all of that stuff is kind of great. Herbie is amazing. The Fantastic Car, which I think often gets ignored in a lot of this, is part of the fun about the Fantastic Four is all of the bits and pieces that Reed comes up with. That's all kind of themed. Yeah, Herbie. As I said, Herbie was great.
Okay. Does everybody know the history of why Herbie exists?
No.
Okay.
Tell us.
This is my favorite stupid piece of fucking history. So in the 60s, when the Fantastic Four was being turned into a cartoon, they went, okay, we're going to do the Fantastic Four. And the standards people of America went, hang on, one of the characters is on fire. We can't have a children's TV show where the children want to emulate the heroes and have a character be on fire.
Why not?
So in the 60s cartoon of Fantastic Four, Johnny Storm is removed entirely and is replaced by Herbie.
What?
This is where Herbie came from.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the fact that he's in the movie is fucking hilarious, but his history is even better.
That's wild.
Oh, and I'm pretty sure he actually talked in the animated series, but and didn't just make bleeps and wobbles.
No, I like the droid vibe. It was great.
Yeah, it didn't sound like a 60s fucking BB-8.
Yeah.
I just remembered something. When we get this Sue Storm into the proper Marvel universe, she's going to have to come up against Namor.
Yes.
And that's a lot of that's a whole Jean Grey Wolverine Cyclops thing going to happen right there. Anyway, that's all right.
That's something we can work on later.
Yeah, there's a lot of smut in that one. anyway,
yeah, and apparently on the set all the time, Vanessa Kirby's like, "So what's going on with Namor?" Pedro's like, "For fuck's sake, I'm right here."
She knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. She gets all the cast members. Yeah, look, I had a great time with it. Like, you know, really good quick introductions to characters. Everyone got a little bit of ability to show who they were as characters very rapidly. Like, you didn't have to pay too much there. But I also really appreciated how much they felt like a family and they felt caring. And it was showing them in a particular way, which it wasn't like, oh, these are conflicted people. They don't know how to, you know, where's the drama? I mean, the drama isn't in the family. The drama is external forces. And I think they got that really well because there was a really cool vibe to sort of be like, oh, this is cool kind of family flick. Like I would take children to watch it and be like, see, this is how you're nice to each other. You don't have to hit each other. You know,
don't set each other on fire.
Don't set each other on fire. Try stop working so hard.
Pete, Jill, talk to me.
Oh, my God. Oh, it feels like so long ago, but it was only Friday.
It was 4 days ago that you saw it.
Oh, my goodness. I really liked the film. I had a good time. I thought, well, I mean, all the things that I said about the costume and set design and all that stuff was just fabulous. I thought, like, the story pacing was good. Like, they got to the point and they... you know, they executed ABC, you know, here's what's happening. Here's our problem and here's how we overcome it. Like they did that. I thought the action beats were good. But again, I'm just not getting my tits blown off, guys.
Back to the rating film.
We're back to the tits rating scale, okay? Zero tits means it was fucking amazing because they blew them both off. But two tits is bad because it doesn't mean that I didn't like the movie. It just didn't blow me away. And it made me start to think that there was something wrong with me. Like, am I not finding enjoyment out of these movies anymore? Like, is it becoming passé? Is it like oversaturation? Like, what's the issue? I think what the issue is that too many movies are just safe. They're in a safe zone. They do what they do on the box and they do no more than that. I'm not getting any like thrill, danger, excitement from these movies anymore. It feels really middle of the road and pedestrian. And that's not to say that Fantastic Four was a bad movie. It was a good movie because it did its job, but it didn't go above and beyond and become an exceptional film. And yeah. I feel that way about Superman as well. That was not exceptional to me. And it just kind of feels like every time we go and see a big blockbuster, I come out like feeling it was middling level.
I agree, but I want to hear Pete's take on it.
Sure.
I think it's a very well constructed, beautifully made film. I mean, we've talked about the production design and the look of it already, which is great. You know, we've talked about the structure, which is logical and probably better constructed than Superman. And I do think it's funny that I kind of liked the expositionary tool here that I hated so much in Electric State. Same tool, different vibe. It's easy to get into and you want it to be because there are some plot points that require a very high level of suspension of disbelief. Even for a comic book movie, you know, usually I try to give the butt whys and the butt hows like a bit of a break in certain genres. But I struggled a bit with a couple of the plot points that very much drove some parts of the story, because it was a bit wibbly-wobbly, sciencey-wyancey.
Yeah, like
In its
don't get into
construction
the
of
proton
the
stream, but get into the proton stream. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was Superman.
And I think the issue is I have a tendency to get a little bit distracted if that suspension of disbelief gets interrupted. And I think that these particular plot points were distracting enough that even though I was enjoying the film, I still got kind of kicked out of the story a little bit by thinking, yeah, but nah.
Are these things that need to be talked about in spoilery territory,
Oh,
or?
everything needs to be talked about in spoiler territory.
Okay, right, fair enough.
It's just, and if they weren't plot drivers, it would have felt a little bit different as well. But it did kind of feel like, as well constructed and entertaining and beautiful as the film is, I kind of agree with Jill that I didn't personally come out of the end of it going like, fuck yeah, amazing superhero film. It was just kind of like, oh, that was like really well constructed and good looking and entertaining. And Pedro.
See, I have I agree very much with everything you guys have said. My biggest problem with it is that the movie didn't have its next gear up. Like, all the way through, it poodled along at an enjoyable kind of pace. It was doing what was needed. You know, things were kind of getting, you know, you had your action beats and stuff like that. But then when you get to your climax, it doesn't have the next gear. It can't shift it back a cog and really go, fuck, let's go. It didn't have that. It, you know, the climax, I kind of was like, and oh, okay, right, we're done. Shit. Okay. And that's kind of emblematic of the whole film, that it's really well made, as we've all said, well made, well shot, lovely costumes, lovely everything.
Great performances. Everybody was on their A
But
game.
nothing that made me go, shit, that was a moment.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there was nothing, there was no moment like the Thor's hammer with Captain America. There was
Yeah.
no kind of really emotional beat of Vision saying, you know, that love is just pain, you know, whatever. I can't even remember the quote, but you know, those really like deep-seated moments that make you go, oof, that got me right in the heart.
Which Thunderbolts did for me. And that, you know, I guess if you're going to hold it up against superhero films we've seen this year from a, is it a good movie? You know, well-rounded perspective, I would still put Thunderbolts ahead of this, regardless of how beautifully thought out the world was.
Yeah. Like there were lovely moments and there were lovely ideas. I love the idea of the whole world pulling together to go, shit, we've got 8 months to build something. Or, you know, and we're all gonna pull in this together and we're all gonna come together over something. That's a great concept, but it just never felt like it had those that personal danger of what we saw in Thunderbolts. And a lot of people are doing the, which one did you like more, Superman or Fantastic Four? I personally thought Superman took more risks. You know, it was weirder. It
Well,
was.
it was more current in its messaging and the risks that it was taking in that messaging as well. And I think also you kind of there's this bit of an imbalance, I suppose, in the rate that one escalates, because you can kind of attempt to escalate the stakes to the highest possible point, and you escalate them so high that the audience cannot believe that jeopardy is going to come to pass in that context, which actually which actually kind of destroys that moment. It's kind of got to be like a believable worst case scenario that they're facing, not like, well, of course they're going to find a way to avert that. There's got to be a little part of you that's like, ooh, I might fail, which I kind of felt in the Thunderbolts.
Yeah. Like,
otherwise you don't feel the jeopardy, you know, the way that you should.
Yeah. And I don't know, I feel like something like Superman has more of an auteur kind of vision behind it. Like, you know, that felt like James Gunn saying something, and his whole thing about found family and his whole thing about being outsiders. And, you know, he has a particular thumbprint that is all over that film. This one, I couldn't tell you a thumbprint.
Which is funny because it is tonally and structurally much more consistent.
Absolutely.
As a package.
Yeah. It has an aesthetic and it, you know, executes that, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the
like
special sauce.
Yeah. And I don't know what it is because I was wanting to get excited. Super wanting to get excited and it just never quite hit me. And even when big things happened, I was like,
Karina made a good point that she thought we were going to see them fail based on what we saw in the post-credit scene of Thunderbolts. And I want to make a point where I kind of wish that that scene never existed because it colored my expectations for this film. Yeah, I was going in.
I forget what that scene was.
Oh, that's okay.
Just a rocket ship
in
the sky.
It was there was like, oh, we're picking up something on our radar, and then they zoom into space and they see the Fantastic Four ship flying through space.
We don't know.
So I had a different expectation of what I was expecting in this film, and so I'm like, just on the edge of my seat the whole time thinking, well, how are they going to get to our Earth? When are we going to see that? When are we going to see that? And then I'm like, I wasn't in the moment with everything else that was happening because I was anticipating something else to happen.
And maybe that's that other cog that I was expecting. Maybe that's the next thing up is that, you know, they do like fail or they do something that then took it to
that
a different
causes
level.
Them to, and then this is how we get to this moment. But like, now that we're not going to have the Avengers Doomsday film until another 18 months, I'm like, wow, how are they going to get our butts in the seats for that one?
Yeah,
because after watching this movie, I'm like, I don't really know where we're going.
No.
At the end, do you feel safe now with your opinion to share?
I mean, my opinion is based on Fantastic Four and how I enjoyed this movie or didn't.
Which is a really difficult thing to do, to take the movie entirely on its own its own value and go, aside from my expectation, aside from the other movie I watched a week and a half before, aside from all of that,
Look, this is the thing. Like, I really like to throw this through. I really enjoyed Thunderbolts because it broke expectations that I had. I was there for it to say, what are you going to do with this? And I was like, wow, that is a great movie. I had certain expectations about Superman, or I was wondering what was going to go, and I felt it wasn't as good as I thought it's going. And I went to Fantastic Four going, how is this going to go? And I thought, I had a little bit of the same thing. The ending towards the end and some of the reasoning and stuff, I was a bit like, oh, this doesn't make sense and I don't understand where it does or doesn't fit. And I feel like they're going to have to, for some reason, do another one in that universe for some reason. And I'm just a bit confused. I feel like it just kind of didn't, you're right, had that, where's that gear? Where's the gear change? Where's it go up? Where do the stakes get bigger? Where does it become really important? But really, I liked it because it was, you can see across the entire movie from start to finish, it was a love letter to the time of the original Fantastic Four. Like, all of the Kirby, all of the weird stories are just written into it. So it is made with a lot of reverence and a lot of love. And I really liked that because there was good messaging that was in there. The execution or some of the reasoning is just, I don't know how this fits in the rest. Like, I love that it's an outsider film, but I also don't then... But are we going to follow these people? Is that the point? Or is it just having a second one? Like, I don't know. Like, it's another Fantastic Four. It's like, will we see
them? Are we making this movie just to make a sequel just so we can make money?
Yeah.
Well, or are we making this one just because we needed to have a really good bad guy for the MCU. We've already announced who that bad guy is. We really had to have this film before Doomsday could happen.
Speaking of, there was a lot of very upset people in our screening at the end of this movie.
Speaking of bad guys, how do we feel about the villain aspects of this one?
I was curious to how I would ever see Galactus executed on film. And I think it, up to a point, it was well done.
Is it is it better than the giant cloud?
Yes. Oh, yes. we don't need some amorphous cloud. I want to see an actual Galactus. And how do you do that? I mean, especially after we had the Eternals, where, you know, we have these godlike beings in space. And it's like, okay, well, now how do we make a Galactus? That was really cool. But then there was a moment where I thought it was not cool. Maybe I'll talk about that.
How'd you feel about Shalabal?
I thought it was sick. I'm like, let's go back to the original Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
People will be surprised to know the original Silver Surfer was not a dude.
Okay. I knew that Shalabal was an alternate, but I didn't realize that.
I think the original Silver Surfer was a woman, and then it was her lover that begged Galactus to trade places with her.
Interesting.
I'm disappointed we didn't get the what if Aunt May was the herald for Galactus and didn't get the golden oldie.
What are you talking about? Marissa Tomei isn't that old.
No. I think there were sequences in there watching the Silver Surfer surfing through Kirby crackle fucking cosmic power surfing through black holes, where I was like, fuck yeah, this is cool, you know, surfing around curving laser beams and shit. I was like, fucking hell.
Yeah, that's the weird success stuff. That was the bits where I was like, oh, this is great. That, like, how do you put the Silver Surfer in? Why does it even, doesn't even make sense? And it's like, yeah, it does if you lean into that crazy kind of 60s vibe that it originally was about. It's like, yeah, I'm just gonna surf like through cosmic waves, man. It's like, cool, that's fun. Yeah, it helps if you take LSD.
There was something so fucking cool with all of that visual stuff that up until now we've never really gotten, because the only other time we've seen the Silver Surfer, he was on Earth, so it didn't have that real cosmic
he
kind
was the
of
T-1000 man.
Yeah.
He just kind of morphed around as needed for the plot.
Your thoughts on the Silver Surfer, Pete?
Neutral. Cool. I don't have a lot of feelings about the Silver Surfer as a character. I thought it was cool execution.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look cool. And I liked the human eyes too. I thought that was kind of cool. Because I feel like you still need something to latch on to for emotion.
Yeah.
I thought that was smart.
Look, there's lots of fun stuff in there. Standouts for me, I need to say, I'm really annoyed that they didn't rename it the Fantastic Six. Because to be honest, there are six characters in this movie by the end of it. You're watching it, it's like, there's not just four, there's more. Who you're following through with, which was a bit of a surprise, because I was like, oh, okay, right, you're just going to lean very heavily into the entire thing. Sure. I really liked Herbie. I love that they went into galactic space, because that's kind of that's really fun. Like, Reed Richards is that kind of character who, you know, is your prototypical 50s, you know, Americanized painting, you know, of like, it's a pipe and slippers and, you know, Dad's
home.
Yeah,
the Norman Rockwell.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% the Rockwell. And but presented in that very conservative way, but he's not a conservative dude. Like, you know, it's kind of like, I'm just going to learn how to fold matter and bend this, and then we're going to space. All right, everyone, safety third, let's go. that's kind of Reed Richards. Like, he built a thing called the Ultimate Nullifier, and it kills anything in the known Marvel universe. And then he's just like, oh, someone stole it. Like, fuck's sake, Reed. You know, like,
One thing you,
yeah,
you
I mean,
said
you
to me
just
afterwards,
casually
you
know, solve teleportation in this film,
yeah,
but
yeah,
whatevs.
Whatever.
Whatevs.
One thing you said to me, Dean, I agreed. Like, they've always struggled to get Reed Richards' powers looking good on screen.
Yes.
Like, it's very hard to do stretchy guy without it looking dumb. But one of the things that is kind of sad is that in the comics and everything, quite often you'll see him and that stretchiness of his body is a all about echoing who he's mentally.
Yeah.
So, you know, his arms are over here, you know, writing on the blackboard and his other arms over here smoking a pipe and his head is, you know, stretched out over here looking at the, you know, out the window or something like that. And there wasn't much of that. It was very much like, yeah, this is traditionally handsome Pedro.
Yeah, it was a tiny bit. Like he was doing a little bit of the blackboard stuff and the catching things, but
yeah,
I don't think we really got to see him actually use his powers much in the film as a whole.
Nope.
No, it's very very expensive to animate Pedro Pascal.
Pete in there.
It's
I mean, it might be a time you would change your mind.
It's clobbering time, no. should we rate it? Because we're going on a long time.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know how I'm going to pick a number.
How many tits off, Jill?
Oh, the tit scale.
Yeah.
It's a two-tit film, but...
I mean, I will change the rating system if I have to, but it's going to really.
I had some issues with it, but I did enjoy. I had a fun time. I'm going to give it a 75. No, 70. I'm going to go 70. Sorry, I'm back down a little bit, mainly because I really loved the aesthetic. I love the characters together. They didn't quite mesh as much, and I felt like some of them were lost. Like I think Ben Grimm's the thing. Totally kind of lost in the
whole.
Didn't
get as much to do.
No, I didn't get enough of that thing because one of the most important things I know about Ben Grimm is he's the real heart of the team. And while that was great, like I loved, you know, Uncles. You've got Gunkles going on there. I loved it. You know, Johnny and Ben are totally down for, you know, being Uncles. I just felt he got a little bit lost. And I have big issues with some of the purple-headed warrior of Galactus, which I'll talk about in spoilers. But yeah, overall, fun time, not a long time.
Fair enough. Pete, number.
I'm gonna say 76, because I do think that it was really well put together, but. I mean, I'll have some stuff to say when we spoil some things. I'll try to keep it brief. Actually, there was one point I think I said to you guys that I nearly walked out of there with more tits than I started with.
I'm still wanting to know how that works. So
luckily,
I'm very
I didn't have to go full rage out on it. But yeah, it's just those kinds of like those plot points that just didn't quite work for me were just a little bit kind of too conveniently driving the plot, and I didn't quite buy even in the world of the story that really kind of held me back from losing any tits at all.
Okay, so number of tits is 2.
Mm-hmm.
Also
the uncanny valley baby was
though apparently that they had a live baby on set
in some shots. I was gonna say you can tell the shots that aren't
babies don't look like babies on screen. You gotta paint a goat.
Yeah.
I mean, either it was a fully uncanny valley baby or they were doing something to kind of make the baby look like it was looking, but there was something Ben Grimm is holding the baby, it's like, that ain't no real baby.
Yeah.
What number did you give it, Pete? 76.
76.
76.
And Dion's still at 70, isn't he?
Yes, I'm still there.
Yep. Dion, how many tits have you got left, by the way?
Just one tit.
One tit?
Oh, I'd only blew off one. Okay.
Only one tit, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's moved. Maybe the tit's moved. Like, it's not in the same place it started at, but it hasn't gone completely off. It's round the side, visiting the armpit.
I can't remember what I gave Superman.
I can probably look it up for you if you want.
Yeah.
See, I just kind of take it on a mood basis, it's on a day-by-day basis.
Sure, but it's right. I mean, I think one of the telling things.
Never compare Superman my ratings 65. For one movie to another movie.
Oh.
While Jill is thinking, I mean, it's fair enough. If you remember, she only saw it like 4 days ago. And it feels like forever.
Okay, here's the weird thing, though. Like, after I watched Superman, I kind of wanted to see it again, but I don't know if that was to try and enjoy it more or, like, to get the things that I didn't really get about it. But this one, I'm not really, like, in a rush to go back to the movie for it. But I did like it more than Superman. I think I'm going to give it 69.
Nice.
It was just a nice movie.
Yeah.
69 and still two tits. Right.
Yeah.
Quinny, what have you got?
I'm very similar to Mjoll. I'm probably more in line with a Pete's at. Like, 70. I'm going to go 77. I don't know why. Actually,
just feeling it.
Yeah,
feels like a 77.
Like I was a bit more warm on Superman. Whereas this, like, it's a perfectly fun, pleasant film. Like, there's nothing wrong with it, but it also just to me felt like it was didn't have much particularly to say, other than, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we could all work together? But also maybe that's what we needed at the moment, is something that wasn't too dangerous or whatever. And I don't know. Yeah. It's 77 for me, but great. I just find it so weird.
We've focused a lot on the non-spoilery side, and we're rapidly running out of time. So let's go to the dinner clip to find out why they're all such a nice family together, then come back and see how much we can jam-pack into spoiler section.
Yes. Leave okay. If you haven't seen it, because I'm going to spoil the very, very, very end of the film.
Pete is thrown down. There you go. All right.
What are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing?
I mean, you're going to ruin your appetite.
I'm hungry.
We're never late for Sunday dinner. Should we wait?
I guess. You're late.
What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean? You're late for dinner.
Oh, yes, we are. Really?
By a single minute.
Yes, we were just...
I had to put some aloe iodine on my shoulder.
I do his shoulder. And...
Why is there breakfast cereal on the dinner table?
Why are you being weird?
We're not being weird.
Well, I'm doing that weird thing with your face.
Oh, so. We don't know what you're talking about.
Are you pregnant?
Yeah, I'm pregnant.
Yes, yes.
How did you know that?
Have you looked at your husband's face?
I know, he just cannot keep a secret.
What? Really?
Yeah.
What?
You are gonna be the best mom.
Oh my God.
And you are gonna be the best dad. Just kidding. You are out of your depth. But we're gonna be the best uncles ever.
Oh, there you go. Yes, that is exactly the kind of thing that we loved about the film.
Mm.
It's really nice. Spoiler logo's up. Pete, destroy away. Oh, wait, sorry. She has been there at the beginning. She will be there at the end. We herald Peter.
It's not even my biggest complaint. It's just that there was a moment at the end where I was like, I am going to have another full-on rant about killing off female characters via self-sacrifice and doing it to two female characters in one scene.
Mm-hmm.
They recovered. They did recover. They recovered from it a bit, and it didn't really feel like it wasn't going to recover. But for a moment there, I was like, oh, we are going to throw down.
So I don't believe you didn't realize the magic baby was going to save the day.
I did. I did. But there was a part of me that was kind of like, you better fucking not.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a little bit of that, wasn't it? It's like, don't you fucking dare. Jesus Christ, he's not a defibrillator. He's a baby.
I mean, you did have a magic MacGuffin the whole time and then not use it.
Yeah.
It's true. Although, but as we all know, Franklin Richards is a monster.
My bigger complaints were the iffy plot points. Like, I'm like, correct me, I'm not a linguist, but I'm pretty sure you cannot translate an entire language with three words. Like, I don't know that that's possible. The Rosetta Stone had more than three words. I don't see how.
Important see to how. Understand that this is in the universe 828, where things can exist a little differently, and they are not the bog standard. And it was one of those things.
It's like not the kind of plot point that you can explain away in your brain with that kind of reasoning.
It has like to it's be. Not- Because that's why I was bitching about it, and I yelled at Quinny until it came up to the thing. It's like, but it's not the real Galactus. And I'm like, oh, yeah, fuck, everything in this movie is not the real one from our universe.
Yeah.
What I'm getting angry at can easily be retconned by an executive who doesn't like the feedback form.
But this is also a universe where Reed is a super genius that can solve teleportation and, like, move a planet.
The jump between, oh, I've managed to do it to an egg. Let's do it to a planet. Nothing will go wrong. I almost thought that, like, that's where it was going to get interesting. Like, that was going to be this universe's snap moment when they, like, accidentally left half the people behind or something.
That's what I was kind of hoping for.
Yeah, there weren't really many stakes.
No, I fucking love the idea of them actually going, fuck it, we're going to teleport the whole planet.
And fucking
and
it
then
up.
What could something go wrong? Goes wrong. Yeah. Like, they go to the wrong place, or they find themselves in the fucking negative zone.
Like that DC Convergence where the two planets had to merge together.
How did they do faster than life travel but not work out how radar exists to stop the fact that Silver Surfer was coming to blow up all of their teleportation machines? That shat me.
She's very fast.
And in the end, it just kind of looked like a regular-sized spaceship. I don't know why they couldn't have just nuked it or something. Like, it's like... felt like a lot of like, ooh, the thing is coming very slowly. This is the only thing we can think of.
That was my big pissy point that I will get my big boy britches on and have a whinge about. Galactus's fucking world-eating ship is just a giant space grinder. And I didn't like that because if you're going to go to like the extent that they went to, which was really Kirby, whole Super 60s kind of thing, make the spaceship fucking weird. Make it the giant machines that you don't understand the purpose of what they do. Like, have
something.
Yeah, what
happens to, like,
the
big straw that he just shoves in the planet and, like, sucks it up?
But I mean, just like have the weird. Like, Kirby was great for drawing, like, stupid contraptions that you look at on the page and they don't. You don't know why or how they work, or they have, like, extra bits that go off and they crackle with energy that you don't understand how it sort of goes. He didn't care about making it look world built. He cared about making something cool and stupid. And then they put Galactus. Fair enough. Looked pretty good. You know, for a big purple guy.
I liked Big Man Galactus. I was down for that.
Yeah.
I didn't like how his height fluctuated.
I was gonna say he wasn't that big in the end though, was he?
He lost a bit of juice out the back of the tube.
Maybe.
And then he got a bit.
Then he went
and
shrunk a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go with that.
Yeah. So, oh, now he can fit in this big circle on the ground that he, like, would have Godzilla crushed a moment ago.
I was going to say, confused if planet-sized or if Godzilla-sized.
Yeah.
Also, how would Sue push if too big? You know?
Because her push is not based on size, it's based on willpower.
No, but push baby. Oh no, okay, recover. Push Galactus, big baby. Oh no.
Is based on magic mummy power.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, yeah,
like that big kind of finale stuff, I was like, when he started to climb back out, I was like, oh, okay, now we're gonna get some shit.
Yeah, I was like, oh shit. I jumped.
Yeah, I was like, fucking sweet, great. Okay, now we're going to really fucking, now we're going to ratchet up. But nope. That's it. Cool, everybody go home. I would have loved to have seen them do something real fucking ballsy. I would have loved to have seen them lose the Earth, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why this Fantastic Four are, like, instead of...
On the run.
Yeah, they're also on the run.
Like, I'm not sure that Marvel is doing its answer to the trolley problem properly.
Why not teleport the fucking baby and the family to another end of the universe or to a different fucking dimension or whatever?
Because they answered that in the Slack with "Por qué no los dos?"
Yeah.
I mean, I really got that. Like, I enjoyed the bit where they were like, "No, this is it. Honestly, like, we may be the people that everyone looks up to on the Earth, and that's a bit problematic to put that much responsibility on four people who were there." But at least they always did it with heart, honesty, integrity, and overall admission of failure to the world. Like, it felt weird. Like, they come back and they're like, "Oh, it's time for press conference." And they're like, "But wait, press conference? Why? Why press conference? Oh, because wait, we are the family. We are literally the only family in the world. Everyone looks to us for answers, you know?"
Yeah.
Maybe he's like, that's the thing. He's planet daddy. Fuck, he's two daddies in this
one. Yeah, he's planet daddy. And the fact that he immediately said what the ultimatum was, like, you'd think that he would have kind of maybe wanted to not tell everyone that.
Yeah.
He was like, "Nah, this is what happened."
Yeah. Mm. We're because back and have baby.
Mad at us. Oh no, you're mad at us.
Why did you be mad?
Actually,
at us?
I loved it. There was a moment, and it was like saying, "Oh, they really liked the speech that Sue gave about the baby." I actually really loved the bit just a bit before that, where, you know, the emotional beat where Sue knows that Reed has decided that the only way to get out of this is by putting their child as bait. Like, that moment, I was like, "Oh, that's fucking hard," because she knows Reed has thought about everything and has thought of the worst possible outcome.
And he's a catastrophizer, but that's how he solves problems.
Yeah, and also don't forget that Reed Richards in the expanded universe is quite possibly the Marvel Universe's worst supervillain. When he goes bad, he goes real bad because he's just kind of like, "Cool, so there's this outcome. We're going to do that. Anyway, got to go over here and murder a few folk."
So many years ago, Cheese TV posed the question, who would win in a fight, Superman or Apocalypse? Now, Karina has posed the question, who would win, Godzilla or Galactus?
Godzilla.
Oh.
100%.
I mean, 100%. Galactus doesn't have laser eyes.
No, or amazing fucking radioactive breath. Yeah. But I get the impression that Galactus
giant sky laser. Why didn't they try that before they tried teleporting?
Sky beam.
They didn't do your sky beam, did you?
No, they didn't do sky beam, and that was quite great. And they didn't have bismuth lake, but they still had hole of no return. So you know.
Black hole's fine.
Just a hole. Like, I mean, also, I need to caveat that, like, which Godzilla and which Galactus?
1998 Godzilla.
Yeah, if it's 98 Godzilla and Cloud Galactus, money's on Galactus.
Yeah, Galactus definitely over 98 Godzilla.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, where was, the other end of this teleporty plan?
Oh, as far as the universe.
Yeah, yeah. But when he teleported the eggs, he had,
another
A bridge and B bridge for the egg to go to.
It'd be like teleporting it to Wodonga, just far away.
Yeah, teleport to random place we don't know where.
That also distracted me. Like, don't you need another end to this teleport?
The thing that would have been, and I kind of like that idea now, because one of the things that the Fantastic Four do quite regularly interact with in the comics and everything is, it's not called the Negative Zone. Is it the Negative Zone?
It's not the Phantom Zone.
It's like the Phantom Zone, but it's Negative Zone, and it's kind of, there's a big bad guy called Annihilus that comes from there and stuff. And essentially it's like the under of, it's the upside down.
It's where they throw all the space junk.
Where they throw all the space junk. And I love the idea of them going, it would have been fucking great for them to, you know, transport the planet and accidentally plonk it in the upside down. And, you know,
I feel like
something like that, something real fucking weird, something real crazy.
I love that
And if they had done that before the third act, then how do you come back from that? Like, that would have been more interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also love that there was no further testing on larger objects. Like, we can do it to an egg,
Yeah.
Let's do
basically the same thing, okay?
You want to try to overcome that planet?
Reach, what should we do? We should run away. It should run. We're going to move the planet. No, I love that. Also, I love that the entire Earth just went, yay. We're going to do this.
You're the smartest guy. We trust you. Go for it.
I love it that they also were like, so where are you going to transport us? Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Does it orbit like a sun where we can like sustain life?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you just going to dump us in the middle of black space and we're all just going to die?
I think they did say it was going to go to another solar system that was similar, but like, how did you find it?
Yeah. But also how do you know what dangers are in that solar system?
And then you kind of disrupt that solar system's like orbital and gravity thing. Like, that's why solar systems work, because they're already set.
Also, he did say within 2% of the Goldilocks zone, but like
2% is a massive thing.
Yeah, that's a fucking massive thing. You know, that's considering enough to kill everybody on the planet millions of times over.
Wait. Yeah. Considering what was it? Climate change needed to raise 2 degrees. There's your degrees and your percentage a little bit, which is like there's some problems going on.
Other things to think about in this universe, there are very definitely alien species. Like Shalabal and everything. But also, you kind of get the impression that these Fantastic Four have probably run into those alien species already. They're tootling around at faster than light. Mm. They're not concerned by the idea that there is an alien out there. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, it's just an alien. We'll go and see what it is. Oh, it's a big fucking alien.
Yeah, our first reaction, we should go visit that.
Yeah, exactly.
They're total fucking space cowboys. They're just like, yeah, whatever.
So I love the idea that they're just like, oh, we'll move the planet, and then going, oh, shit, I wonder who our new neighbors are going to be. Oh, okay. Yeah,
but still, you know.
Cross that bridge when you get to
it. Can't work out a car seat because bumbling men.
Fuck, that sequence ran way too long.
Oh, my God. Like, yeah, three fucking scientists.
Yeah, yeah.
Get it? It's funny.
Well, like, Fridge, the only woman who is who has the better power of everyone because she can convince people to work together. Like, her superpower isn't invisibility. It's, you know, able to keep, like, compassion is her fucking superpower. And then, you know, necromancer child that's scary as fuck. And then idiot men who just don't seem to be able to do what they should be doing.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I think the real superhero is their secretary, who just has to deal with all of the shit that they do and still keep them on track when they get back from their adventures so that they can give a press conference.
This had sort of Fly Me to the Moon vibes, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Are you saying that they faked the Galactus attack?
Yeah, it would explain why, like, you know, he looked like a dude in a suit.
Oh, dearie me. Look, anything else that annoyed you about this Fantastic Four? I feel it's way better than the other three attempts crack at it. Like, you know, I feel it's unfair. To hate on it too much.
I also think that we're all a little bit burnt out and just sad about life. So. It's hard to get the same enjoyment out of things that we used to.
Yeah, it's true. Like, it honestly, like, I'm down with it.
It's not
like
a bad movie. It's a good film.
Yeah.
No, it's just not bad. You know, it's just not wow.
Observe attached.
It's bosoms. Not bad. It's just acted that way.
Yeah. See,
bad.
No, I thought it was acted great. I actually do want to go back and rewatch those 2005 Fantastic Four films, though.
Yeah.
Because do vaguely remember them being kind of fun.
You could watch it because Ian Gruffudd sticks his hand out, and then someone very definitely with the Photoshop morph tool just pulls the arm towards the screen. And you're like, wait, that's just distorting. Oh, right, okay. You've just
find myself reciting quotes as the movie was playing. It's good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, well, that's good. Thanks everyone for sticking around for the slightly extended Mr. Fantastic podcast. We extended to fill the hole that was needed.
Yeah. I do want to say this week I also watched something that I wasn't expecting to watch. But was pleasantly and weirdly surprised by
South Park,
Happy Gilmore 2.
Oh shit!
Oh,
It's out on Netflix. It came out with very little fanfare.
Did you love it? Was it wonderful? And did you feel every single nostalgic piece, or was it just like, oh my God, another Adam Sandler film?
Yes to both.
cool.
I was pleasantly entertained by how completely 90s, you know, dickhead comedy it was. You know, if you enjoyed the first fucking fantastic, enjoy the first Happy Gilmore, you'll probably get quite a lot of enjoyment out of Happy Gilmore 2, because it is nowhere near as shit as I was expecting. There you go. There you go. My review.
Not as bad as thought.
Yeah. Fun. Laughed multiple times.
You know, that was a movie dying for a sequel.
Well, yeah. I mean, do we need to go on about how Hollywood is playing it safe and only making sequels?
Yeah.
Look, yeah. Speaking of sequels, next month we have lots of sequelitis coming out. We have the Naked Gun continuation, 44 and a quarter.
Is it a sequel or?
Nobody 2. Do you remember Nobody? That was a pretty fun one.
I liked Nobody. Was fun.
Who else have we? What else have we got coming
out? I Know What You Did Summer 2 decades ago.
Oh, yeah.
What happened last summer? Yeah.
I don't remember what happened last weekend.
Yeah, let alone last summer.
What, last summer?
Got a few more things coming out. I can't remember really what else is coming out. I haven't actually checked.
Weapons. Freakier Friday, I think, is coming out.
God. Freakier Friday.
Yeah, speaking of sequels.
Yeah. And who says Hollywood's dead and has no content?
Me.
No, we're 100% down for that. I still have a few things I've got to catch up on. I still didn't see the Old Guard 2 yet.
Nope, me either.
Not going to bother.
Oh. Okay. I still haven't seen Ballerina.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched that either.
I didn't see it.
Yes, finish Murderbot. I haven't finished watching that.
Yeah, I've got to finish the last episode of that.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
It was great.
Foundation Season 3 still going for all of those sci-fi nerds?
Nah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, we've got
Stick
a bit
was
of...
good on Apple Plus.
Okay.
The Owen Wilson golf one, that was cute.
I'm watching Smoke, which is on Apple TV.
Oh, okay. What do you think of that?
And I'm not with it.
Okay.
I was like,
I started watching it and I haven't gone back to it.
I'm watching
The Institute on Stan.
Okay.
The Ponds Institute?
Stephen King adaptation. Kids with superpowers kidnapped by shady government organization.
Yes.
Yeah. Looks kind of.
But yeah, Smoke, I don't know. Love some Taron Egerton.
Do enjoy Taron Egerton. Yeah.
Good point. I haven't watched The Strange New Worlds, Predacanga, or Twisted Metal Season 2.
I will wait for it all to come out and then resub to Paramount for a month and watch it.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. But also, I'm kind of like, fuck Paramount Plus because they're a pack of assholes.
Yeah, that too. So let's just hit the high seas.
You bet they're $1.5 billion poorer.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you were
there. Yeah, there's a new Apple Plus show coming out soon called Chief or Chiefs. It's about the time prior to Captain Cook colonizing Hawaii.
Oh.
And it's got Temuera Morrison's in it, Jason Momoa. There's like spoken Hawaiian language in which should be fun.
I love that this is chucking people in there. Like, it's like, yeah, it's Pacific Island, that's fine. New Zealand is an islander.
I'm sure there's Hawaiian people acting in it.
I hope so.
Momoa? Chief of War, it's called.
Yeah, that looks good.
Right. I wonder if it,
I also watched The Last Showgirl on the weekend, and that was really nice. I've been wanting to see it, but I didn't catch it at the cinema. So it's on Stan if anyone wants to watch it.
Yeah, it's shot in Gypsy's house. Hello, Gypsy. Probably not listening to this. That's okay. But yeah, that was her house.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice.
Well, there's plenty of stuff out there to watch. And we'll watch some of it. Also, we've got an entire month of programming that we've got to work out what the fuck we're going to do, guys.
Yes. Well, that's it. We all know. We'll do all the Naked Gun films. That's it. You heard it here first. August is just the Naked Gun films. 1, 2, 3, and the new one with Liam Neeson.
Oh, surely you're kidding.
I am. Surely that's from a totally different series.
I know, but fuck you. It's a good line.
No, because somebody pulled me up on it. I made the same joke and they're like, that's from Airplane. I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah, but...
No, that's from Flying High.
Yeah. Oh.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, rascals. Okay, thanks for sticking around, everyone. Thank you to Jill and Peter and Quinny.
Yeah, thank you.
Doing
you.
Great show about the Fantastic Four.
You're a pretty Fantastic Four, I reckon.
I consider them more like the pretty good four.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're going to go now. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next week. Also, suggestions or anything. If there's anything that we should be watching, let us know. Play.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.